In Mark chapter 1, we learned that Jesus is the Son of God. In verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Mark 2:28, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus ordained 12 that they should be with him. And whosoever shall do the will of God, he said in verse 35, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. We learn so much about the life of Jesus just through his words. In Mark 4, we find that Jesus is the sower that soweth forth the word of God. And he brings us to the other side of life's storms. Each and every one of us have maybe had trials or tribulations. And we know that as we go through the storms of life, as a Christian, if Christ is in your heart and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus is in that spiritual boat with you. And we can give God the glory for verse 41 of Mark 4. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Mark 5, we learned that Jesus can cast out devils. He can heal. Jesus can raise the dead. There was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And no matter what your issue is, Jesus can solve it. Verse 34 says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole. The words of Jesus, such power in them. Mark 6, we learn that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. And Jesus was rejected by his own countrymen. And we learn some more about Herod. We learn some more about this feeding of the 5,000 at the local desert place. In verse 50, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Be not afraid. In Mark 7, Jesus rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And we know that Jesus hath done all things well. He touches mute mouths and makes them talk, crippled legs, makes them walk. Jesus was a very special man, and he was no ordinary man because he was the God-man. He touched deaf ears and made them hear, and blind eyes to help them to see. Jesus said to the Pharisees in verse 6, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Will God say something similar to us here at Anchor Baptist Church in this room? Would he say, they attend church, but their heart is far from me. They read their Bible, but their heart is far from me. They pray eloquently, but their heart is far from me. They give money in the offering. They contribute of their finances, but their heart is far from me. They do ministry, but their heart is far from me. They love to sing, but their heart is far from me. They talk to others about Jesus, but their heart is far from me. Let's have hearts that draw nigh to the Father, because he's the one that has not moved. If we are far away in this relationship, he says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Verse 37 of the same chapter, Jesus, he hath done all things well. Amen. Jesus cannot do anything bad. He cannot do anything terrible. And it says in the book of Psalms, thou art good and doest good. Well, he cannot do otherwise. Right. In Mark 8, we learn that Jesus fed 4,000 people. He can feed the multitude. It doesn't matter if it's 5,000 or 4,000. No difference to Jesus. Right. He healed the blind, and he encourages each and every one of us today to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Halfway through, and in Mark 9, Jesus is transfigured. He is changed into a borrowed tomb because he didn't have to stay there very long.
Amen.
Have to stay there very long.
Amen.
He instructs us about humility. Not just the people there in ancient Israel, the people today. He instructs us about hell. He instructs us and encourages each and every one of us to have peace. In verse 50, salt is good, but if salt has lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. Have peace one with another. In Mark 10, we learn what Jesus knows about marriage, about money, about servanthood. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And immediately Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way in the same chapter. And when God takes the blinders off from your life and from my life, we should be seeking the Lord in such a similar way. in Mark 11, Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem and they say, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in a sense, they're saying, sweep clean, get rid of this Roman army, get rid of Caesar. We just want a Messiah who will conquer and kill. But that was not why Jesus came the first time. He was born to die. And Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem to fulfill prophecy. He curses the fig tree. He gives more instruction about faith. He's confronted by the religious leaders of the day. And Jesus, answering, saith unto his disciples, have faith in God. Forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. And he tells the Pharisees, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Mark 12, God the Father is the Lord of the vineyard. And the religious leaders of this day, they want to kill Jesus, remember? Mm-hmm. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We learn of the woman who, of her want, did cast in all of her living, all that she had. Mark 13, Jesus said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Remember, Jesus has left us a few things. He's left us some authority. He's left us his house, his church that he died for, his work. Watch what I say unto you all. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Mark 14, in Gethsemane, Jesus is in the garden of crushing. He's crushed, and he just cannot seemed in his human brain to comprehend all that he's about to go through. And the battle was won at Gethsemane before it was ever won at Golgotha. Jesus is tried by the Sanhedrin and denied by Peter. Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Hyperhidrosis, sweating of blood. He should have died, but if it was not for the angels ministering unto him, I believe he might have passed away in that garden. But God had a plan. He had a purpose for his son, and he was going to see him all the way. And so Jesus travels down this way of suffering, the Via Dolorosa, and Jesus is crucified in Mark chapter 15. They mock him. They cast lots for his garments. He's crucified. And to be crucified, that same root word there is the same word from which we derive the word excruciating. And this is the worst kind of punishment a man could go through. And Jesus was murdered for you. Jesus was killed for me. And Jesus really died on that cross. And he really did. It was not a swoon theory, as some people may say, that perhaps maybe Jesus was just poked by a spear and he really didn't suffer anything consequential. And the disciples tried to make it a fraud and a farce and a fake and to have a puppet Messiah. And they brought Jesus back to life by some form of resuscitation. No, Jesus really did die.
Right.
He really was crucified. And so much so, when the earth was turned to darkness and the heavens and the skies were turned to black and the veil was torn in twain, the Roman soldier witnessing all these things, he said, the centurion did, truly this man was the Son of God. And we just read it in Mark 16. Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is risen indeed. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 of Mark 16. Mary, she went and she told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. They were crying. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he was in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, right around lunchtime, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Look at verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that an honor to serve the King of Kings and to serve the Lord alongside? We are fellow laborers with the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Jesus is alive. We use a word here at Anchor Baptist Church, and we use it often. We call it the gospel, and we share the gospel to as many people as we can. Brother Andrew and Brother Jay, I meant to ask you about this earlier, but there are a bunch of tracts over there beside you, these invitations. And on the front of these invitations, they say, there is hope. And we give these out pretty often, but I want each and every one of us, let's not miss a person. Let's everybody get one of these, okay? There is hope. Hebrews 6 says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. I'm grateful for that. And when you give these out, they say, there is hope. And it's just such a great icebreaker. I met somebody earlier today. I was taking a walk in between kind of work and the service time. And I met a man over by the Kawasaki dealership, and I was able to share as much of the gospel as I could. Yeah. And to lead things off, it was just, hey, there is hope. There's hope for this world. There's hope in the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, gospel is simply an old English word that means good news. God spell. God spell. The gospel. It's God's story, and it's a good story. Amen. And it's history, his story. And it really did happen. And I'm grateful to know that we have the gospel. What is this message? Gospel, this old English word for God's story, a good story. It is good news, but it is only good news if it reaches the heathen in time.
Right.
The good news is that Jesus is alive. You don't have to go to hell. There is hope.
Amen.
Everyone, take that track in your hand and read it out loud with me when I say go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. There is hope. One more time, class.
There is hope.
Listen, if there were 1,000 ways to escape hell, humanity would invent 1,001.
Right.
The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Right.
There is only one way to heaven. Jeremiah, the prophet of ancient Israel, he said, the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. You can't trust your heart. You cannot go to heaven after you pass away by trusting in baptism. You can't go to heaven after you die if you are trusting through baptism, not through speaking in tongues, not through sacraments, not through animal sacrifice. The Bible says baptism cannot take you to can't take you to heaven. God himself, by his Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, wrote to us, I thank God that I baptized none of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If baptism were necessary to go to heaven, why did the author of nearly half of the Bible thank God that he did not baptize some potential candidates for heaven? Baptism is only a command for those who believe and depend on Christ alone for salvation. Nothing more, nothing less. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation, but it is a requirement for obedience. And praise the Lord, some of the people in this room have been recently baptized. And we give God all the glory for that. Hey, speaking in other languages cannot take you to heaven. God himself, by his Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, wrote to us, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. If the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Speaking in other languages, or even celestial tongues, or a bunch of gibberish can't take you to heaven.
Right.
Animal sacrifices can't take you to heaven. God himself, by his Spirit, through the author of the book of Hebrews, wrote to us, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, Hebrews chapter 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being justified, made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We, who were very, very poor, can one day become very, very rich, because he who was very, very rich became very, very poor, and God became a man. Listen, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm not talking through the Buddhist faith or the Hindu faith or the Pentecostal faith or the Islamic faith or the Calvinist faith or the Mormon church or even the Baptist church. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. Believe Scripture. What saith the Scripture?
Amen.
There is none righteous, no, not one. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What's the meaning of life, Brother Kevin? Hey, it's the meaning of life. This is why you exist. Timothy, Sama, Brother Mark, Brother Andrew, each and every one of us, Brother Yassine, myself, Pastor, here's why we exist, the glory of God. We all fall short.
Right, right.
You can't attain heaven on your own. There's none righteous.
Mm.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What saith the Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
You ever say to yourself, oh, I just wish that God would send me a sign. Matthew wrote in Matthew 16, verse number 4, a wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Oh, I wish I could just hear God's voice in this lonely time. I wish that God would just speak to me. You want to hear God talk? Open the Word of God.
Amen.
His will always agrees with His Word.
Amen.
God wrote you an entire book. What does God want to do next with me? Just open the Scriptures. When you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All of it is worthwhile. What is the way to heaven? Here's what God says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Be it known to you all by the name of Jesus Christ, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must be saved. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Hebrews 1, verse 8, unto the Son, the Father saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Father said to Jesus, you are God. Unto the Son, the Father saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is God. He is the ultimate judge. All of us are sinners. Imagine, if you will, that a criminal is found guilty of the death penalty. But the judge, in his mercy and his kindness, he said, I will die as the substitute for this criminal. Hey, all of us are sinners. Without Jesus, all of us are criminals in the eyes of God. But through those same eyes, God had love and compassion for you and on you. And God became a man so that he could pay the price for our crimes. And Jesus did not just give himself for you. He gave himself to you. The way to heaven is absolutely exclusive. Hey, there's victory future, but there's also victory today, but only through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and call upon him to take you to heaven after you pass away. And if you don't, you will not go to heaven. It's as simple as that. Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not through your good behavior, not through your actions, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
From death, from hell, and from the anger, from the wrath of God. He is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
Forgiveness from Jesus is available to all. But the prerequisite is that you and I must call upon Jesus Christ. Friend, consider this. Hey, think about this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Psalm 138, verse 2. God has magnified his word above his name. God says, don't take my name in vain. Don't say, oh my God, oh my Lord, without actually meaning it. And then he says, God has magnified his word above his name. I think God takes Scripture very seriously.
Yes, he does.
The word of God liveth and abideth forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's words shall not pass away. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, And light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, we're called to be Christian. We're called to be little Christ. We're to be like Jesus. He was full of grace and full of truth. I just taught the teenagers on Sunday, hey, you know, we may not agree with all that's going on in the public school and in society with gender identity and just this confusion in the world. But you know what Ephesians 4 says? It says, speak the truth in love. Jesus was full of grace. He was full of truth.
Very good.
A balance. And just reminds me of the cross, that intersect where mercy and justice met on that day.
That's very true.
Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is God. Jesus is the living Word. And God takes His Word seriously. Even by Him, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Celestial knees will bow, terrestrial knees will bow, infernal knees will bow, angels, humans, and devils will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus said unto His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach this same gospel to every creature. And God sent me here to tell you, church family, to walk by the same rule. And to us, let us mind the same thing. Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned away to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Hey, I like this next part. You know, we always skim through this and see, do the work of an evangelist. Just slow down a little bit. Hey, do the work.
Right.
Hey, Timothy, do the work.
Right.
Miss Yoonji, do the work. Saba, do the work.
Right.
Yassine, do the work.
Right.
Hey, it takes work to be a Christian in a way, right? Work out your own salvation, right?
Right.
Hey,
right.
Life is hard.
Right.
Life is difficult.
Right.
But He says in Matthew 11:30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. All you that are weary.
Amen.
Like the Apostle Paul, may we be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And may Jesus say to us at the end of the road, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. The non-Jewish people in ancient Israel are quoted in the book of John as saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Hey, Christian, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And the deepest unspoken desire, although they may not know it yet, the deepest unspoken desire of their heart is, sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so in like manner come as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Hey, Christian, preach the word. Preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Friend, I don't know why you're here, but it is possible that you're here this evening and you're not a Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around except for me. I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. But to become a Christian, to be on your way to heaven after you pass away, it only requires two actions, nothing more and nothing less. Just remember, it's all of God and not of you. It's not something you do, but you must rely on Him. Scripture says, hey, believe and call. Believe and ask. Believe His words. Ask Jesus, who is God, to take you to heaven. To become a Christian, don't trust your past. Don't trust your history. Don't trust the fact that your dad or your mom or your grandpa or your grandma, that they were good people. Their faith can't take you to heaven. It must be placed on Jesus Christ alone. To become a Christian, to be on your way to heaven after you pass away, it's as simple as A, B, C, D. You must admit that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law and is hard. We've all missed the mark, and that's what it means to fall short. We've all sinned. You must admit. B, you must believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Admit, believe, call upon the name of the Lord. God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And maybe God is dialing your phone number today, and you need to answer. If God's dialing your number, pick up the phone. You must call upon him. And if you die without Jesus Christ, the Bible tells of a terrible place called hell. You don't want to go there. Real people go to a real heaven, and real people go to a real hell. You must be born again. You must be born a second time. If you're twice born, you die once. And if you die one time and only one time, you die twice. Admit, believe, confess, and do it now. Decide today. Depend on Christ this instant. Not just for eternity, not just for the sweet by and by, but for the nasty now and now. And if you're a Christian, if you have the intelligence to depend on Jesus for forever life in heaven, you can have the faith to depend on him to supply your needs today and now. Amen. Right now. Depend for the rest of your life. Hey, if God can rescue you from hell, he'll make sure you have enough to eat. Instead of lamenting how bad life is, count your blessings and thank God that you're not in hell. We'll never go there. The hallmark of Christians is the joy they have in Jesus. And if you've lost your joy, Jesus is not moved. He's still waiting with open arms. How about you, Christian? Maybe you're in the congregation today and you say, Kevin, if I died today, I'm not going to heaven, but I sure would like to know tonight. Anyone like that? By way of uplifted hand, just raise your hand in the air. I will not call your name. I won't laugh at you. Just raise your hand in the air if you say, I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to heaven, but today I would like to make that certain in my life. Christian, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to give you the power to preach the word. There are people today outside the four walls of this kind of air-conditioned, heated, upholstered comfort that we have that need the Lord. Heavenly Father, there's a great need, but we have a great Savior for that need, and I thank you for the word. And I pray that we would go into all the world and preach the same gospel. Lord, I thank you for the book of Mark. I thank you that it's action-packed and it's dynamic. And truly, each and every part of the word is dynamic in that way. Because it's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as we leave this place. And as we pray before we leave, Lord, I pray that you would teach us to pray. And as we consider all that you've done for us and the example you've left us and the commands that you've given us, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient servants and obedient children of our Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, maybe online, live stream, or in this room that doesn't yet know Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would get that settled. Please help us to continue to be a light in the Burnaby area. In Jesus' name we pray.